Wednesday night, I got off work and time to come to church. When church was over, me and BJ had been talking about me coming up here and doing this for a while. And when church was over, I come up here and I asked him, I said, well, did you ever come up with a date? He said, Sunday night. I said, all right, sounds good. About halfway home, I realized what I'd agreed to. My son was driving. He was scaring me to death on one hand, and I was scaring myself to death on the other. And so, I don't really know where to start, but I guess I'll just start where I first thought I saved. When I was a teenager, I walked up to the altar, and I don't remember a whole lot about it. I got up there, the preacher come down there, and he prayed with me, and I don't remember praying. I don't remember asking God to come into my life. I don't remember none of that. But when I got up from there, there's people shaking my hand, hugging my neck, telling me I was going to heaven. Fast forward a little bit. When I left from there, I started living my life. I was doing everything I wanted to do. Luckily, I met the woman right over there who I married. We've got 3 kids now. When we had that first kid, man, he's amazing. Love him to death. But I wanted to do right by him. I wanted to get him in church because after all, hey, I was going to heaven. Preacher done told me that. The only problem is I'd go to church, but I was more like a quarter Christian. You know, you can go to church on Sunday school, you can go Sunday worship service, you can go Sunday night, and you can go Wednesday night. I'd go 1 out of 4. That was enough for me. Half the time at 1, I didn't even want to be there. I'd get up in the morning, just... I mean, I hate to say it now, but my wife would convince me to go to church some morning. It's just, hey, we didn't go last Sunday. You need to go this Sunday. Well, all right. There's times I'd get up and fake being sick. I hate saying that, but I'd get up and anything I could do to keep from being here. As my life went on, I started, the times that I did come to church, some of it started sinking in a little. And I started realizing that I wasn't saved. But I'd try to convince myself I was. You know, I'd come to church, and y'all may have heard on that little Facebook thing I said, it's like I had a little devil on one side and a little angel on the other. I'd get up here, and when I'd get into church, it'd be like a little devil's telling me, oh, you saved. The preacher done said you was. Don't worry about it. But the little angel had just a little tiny voice saying, no, you're not. And as it got going on and on, the little angel would just build up a little. Get a little louder. Said, no, you're not saved. It was like that every Sunday that I'd show up here. I didn't want to be here because of how bad it was getting. That fight went on in me for the longest. It just kept getting worse and worse. And the devil would just keep telling me, oh, you saved, don't worry about it. Then I'd try to negotiate with the devil. I'd be back there, and when they'd do altar call or invitational hymn, whatever, I'd convince the devil, I'd say, well, look, I ain't going to get saved, but at least let me go pray. Sometimes he'd tell me, nah, you stay back there. I said, you don't want all them folks watching you walk up there. You don't want them all thinking you got problems. Y'all, I had a lot of problems. I got a little 3-year-old boy right over here. He can't speak. I had a reason to be up here. I got a mama that can't see. She's got macular degeneration. I mean, she's going blind. Y'all, I'm sorry. But I had reasons to be up here praying, but the devil convinced me not to. He convinced me of that. Y'all, it was getting bad. It was to the point that the devil would tell me, you don't want to walk up there in front of all them people. You don't want them thinking you're not a Christian, that you hadn't been this whole time, that you've been lying to all of them. And then it got even worse. He started telling me, he said, you know, maybe if they all know you're a liar down here, but they give you sympathy up here, it might kind of weigh out. He said, you know, if you was to have like a near-death experience, maybe it'd level it out. Nobody would say nothing. Nobody would care. Y'all, there was a point in my life when I was riding down the road, and the devil would tell me, just drive off right here. You've got a seatbelt on. Just drive off in this ditch. If I'd have listened to him, I'd have burnt in hell. Y'all, that devil was getting to me. That fight. He was fighting inside of me, just telling me, you know, you don't want to do this, you don't want to do that. And the whole time I'm sitting back here, I'm wanting to be saved. I'm wanting to go to heaven. But he'd try to convince me, oh, you don't want to do that. It got to a point to where I just didn't know what to do. Me and my family had went to Gatlinburg. It was early June. While we was up there, I got a phone call. My mother had called to tell me my daddy was going to die. Y'all, I love my daddy. And here I am. I'm in Tennessee. I'm finding out my daddy's going to die. I didn't know what to do. I called BJ. Told him, I said, brother, my daddy ain't got long to live. I need to know if he's going to heaven. My best friend got up and went to my house, or my mom and daddy's house. A few hours later, I got a phone call. He said, man, your daddy's going to heaven. Don't worry. Your daddy's going to heaven. But on his way to my mom and daddy's house, he told me the Lord spoke to him. Now, this was later on, but he said the Lord spoke to him and said, it ain't your daddy, it ain't JR you need to go see, it's David.
Yes, sir.
Y'all, was lost. June 6th, my daddy died. He had cirrhosis of the liver, pulmonary fibrosis in his lungs, congestive heart failure. My daddy was a walking miracle.
Yes, sir.
And it took him dying for me to realize that.
Yes, y'all love my daddy. After that one Sunday, I was in church. I don't remember the exact date. Don't know what was going on, but Brother BJ got in here and he asked for a save people to say something. I don't remember the exact service. Don't know exactly how he said it, but people were standing up all over the place telling the exact date they were saved. Made me realize again that I didn't know no date. I didn't know no year. When I walked out of church one evening, I don't know if it was that same service or what, but it was after my daddy had died. I met Brother Tony Woodham in the parking lot. Me and him was talking. And he sat there and told me, said, man, I know your daddy's passed, but you're going to be fine. You got your kids in church. You a godly man. He just didn't know how bad he didn't know me right then. But then he told me what happened to him. He said that Jesus spoke to him, told him, said, he said he's 39 years old and he's living his life. And he told me that Jesus told him, said, you either get right now or I'm done with you. Told him that was his last chance. He was 39. Brother, you telling me that's changed my life. I love you for that. I left from here scared to death because here I was 40 years old. He was 39 when he got his last chance. I leave from here and I'm wondering, is God done with me? Am I out of chances? Is he done give up on me? When I left from here, I don't know if it was that day, but right after that, I started praying. Every time the devil would get on me, say, Lord, don't give up on me. Lord, keep working on me. That was the prayer that I'd pray. Wasn't nothing long, wasn't nothing fancy or nothing. It was just, Lord, don't give up on me. Lord, keep working on me. I kept on. Every time the devil would say something, I'd do that same prayer. August 15th, I woke up that morning. I was mad. I woke up mad because I hadn't had much sleep. The night before, I'd went to bed about 11:30 or 12 o'clock, and I'd got up about 6 that next morning. Just couldn't sleep. I love watching my kids play ball. Love watching it. Caden had basketball tryouts that day. I didn't even want to go. That evening, we done made plans. We was going to be working around the house. Had a lot to do. So I get up. I'm mad. I'm ill. But I get through it, and I take him to basketball tryouts. And he did make the team, by the way. But when I got home, my sister told me, said, we got to have some papers notarized. I don't know but one notary. Now, he may be 5 or 10 in here, but the only one I know is Brandy Mills, preacher's wife. So I called up, said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm on my way to church. I said, we fixing to have church tomorrow. We hadn't had church in 2 weeks. Cause all this COVID stuff. he said, but I told him what I was needing. He said, we'll be over there in a few minutes. When he gets to the house, I don't remember what them papers said. I don't remember what I signed. I don't remember none of it. I was sitting there, and that little angel had got so big it was screaming at me, you need to talk. You need to talk to him now. I asked him to come outside with me. We got on a Polaris Ranger, and we rode about 200 or 300 yards. We stopped. We started talking. About 20 or 30 minutes later, I'm sitting there. I'm going through more emotions than I've ever went through in my life. I was in tears because I just got saved. As soon as I get saved, he looked at me and he told me, he said, well, you gonna get baptized tomorrow? I said, yeah. Yeah, I do. He said, that's good, because he said, we had a deacon's meeting the other day, and I went and bought a trough. I don't know what you call it, but anyhow, it's for the outdoor service. I said, they said we didn't even have a candidate, but I told him we needed one. Said God had spoke to him and said, we need a baptismal pool. They filled it up with water on Friday, and I got saved on Saturday. I got baptized Sunday. I joined his church Sunday. That day, I started realizing a change in my life. You know, I'd said that the day I was getting saved, I was planning on doing a lot of work around the house. I got up at 6 o'clock that morning. By probably lunch, I was saved. But then we started working around the house later on. We worked outside cleaning up, cutting grass, cutting limbs, everything we could do out there. Probably about 7:30 or 8 o'clock that evening. I'm tired. I'm hungry. And I'm going to make fun of my brother-in-law here for just a second. But we sat there, and my mama and my sister said, well, we got food at the house and all that. I said, all right, let's go eat, because I'm going to eat and come home and just relax. Then my brother-in-law, who had been on a lawnmower all day, comes flying over. Show of hands, how many of y'all mow pine straw? One hand. My brother-in-law was mowing pine straw next to a well. A water well at the house, and there was an electrical wire there, and when he hit it, it jerked and it broke a galvanized pipe about this big around as your pinky off, water shooting up everywhere. I didn't get mad. That was the first time I noticed a change. God works in mysterious ways. We sit there, I hadn't ate. Now I've got to fix a water leak or help him fix his mistake. I'm going to put it that way. But when we get down there to fix it, the threads is broke off in there. It takes us a little while to get it out. When we finally get it out, we're calling around. And Mr. Barnes over here at Sulligit's got one. Tells us, yeah, come get it. We get over there. He gives us a little 4-inch pipe made of brass. And he told us in, said, yeah, them galvanized pipes, see, they sort of clog up on you. Ours was probably about 80% closed right then when he broke it off. Said, the Lord works in mysterious ways. He charged us $4 for that brass pipe. He said, if it wouldn't have broke right then, would have caused a whole lot more problems. Cost us a whole lot more money. So because my brother-in-law decides to mow pine straw on the day I'm saved, God saved us a boatload of money. Since that day, the saying I once was blind, but now I see, has changed. I can see things.
Yes, sir.
I see things I've never seen before.
Yes, sir.
I hear things I've never heard before. Not long after I saved, I drive a UPS truck. I was in Berry. There's a restaurant over there. And they've got one of these little yellow signs that you can put the letters on. That's got the little flashing arrow points toward the place there. Their sign was supposed to say half capacity because of all this COVID stuff, but the C was off of it. The parking lot was full. The sign's on one end of the parking lot, and I park on the other to deliver a package to them. As I'm walking up there, I look down, and that C is on the ground all the way across the parking lot. When I'm coming out from delivering, I heard a little voice in my head. I said, pick that up. I ignored it. Shouldn't have, but I did. But by the time I got to the UPS truck, another 15 feet away, that little voice said, you better go back and pick it up. I'm kind of lazy, so I get in the UPS truck and I drive to it. I pick it up, but then I drive all the way across the parking lot in between all them vehicles. I get out and I put it on the sign where it's supposed to go. No sooner than I do it, I turn around and there's a horn honks. And two people sitting there gives me a thumbs up. I didn't do nothing holy, I didn't do nothing biblical, but I done the right thing, and two people saw it. And that little voice spoke to me again. You know, it was a letter C. And that little voice said, see what I can do when you listen to me. There was so many times in the past 3 months. I ain't been saved but 3 months, but there's been so many times I've seen things that I know God has put there for me. I don't know if you call it a vision or a daydream or what. How many of y'all ever daydreamed about peeling a potato and cutting your finger? I daydreamed about peeling a potato, turning my head, cutting my finger. As soon as I'd done it, a little voice went off in my head again. It said, you take your eye off the prize, and sometimes you'll get messed up.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And then he told me, he said, in the Bible, there's a father who gives his kid half his inheritance, or all of his inheritance, and he goes and blows it. And he's got nothing left. And the kid says, well, the servants of my daddy eats better than I do. And so he went back to ask his daddy if he could be a servant. But his daddy welcomed him with arms wide open. They rejoiced about him being there. And God said, just like when you take your eyes off that prize, when you mess up, you ask for forgiveness and I'll be there to help you. Now, I don't know the Bible good, by no means. I didn't know where that story was in it, didn't know nothing about it. But as I had my headphones in about a week later, I'm listening to Christian music. The song Reckless Love comes on. If you've never heard it, it's a good song. In the song, there's a lyric where it goes, leave the 99. I was lost. When I heard that, I didn't know what it was talking about. So I called B up.
said, "You didn't know, did you?" He said, "What?" I said, "Once I got saved, you just become my own personal biblical Google." He said, "All right, what you got?" And I told him, I said, "What's that leave the 99 mean?" He said, "Oh, man, that's Luke chapter 15. He said, "We call it the lost chapter." He said, "Jesus tells you he'll leave the 99 sheep to go save the one that's lost."
Yes, sir.
He said, "It's also got the prodigal son in there, too. You ought to read it." So, I didn't know what that verse was called, but a week later, he tells me where it's at in the Bible. I've had a few people ask me, "Why would you want to get up here and do this?" Me and him have been talking. I talk to him a lot. A whole lot more now than I used to, but anyhow. If I was to lead two people to Christ, just two in this year, and those two people in the next year led two people apiece to Christ, and that just kept on and kept on, after that first year, I could quit. I just got to lead two. And if it kept on and going, on the 20th year, there'd be 1,048,576 people get saved. All because you lead two people. Brother JD, if you led two people to Christ this year, are you going to quit? Not at all. God didn't save my soul to sit on a pew 4 hours a week. Tell him, little boy. I don't know how much time I've took up here. I don't know. Church is about over or not. I don't know. But I'm going to tell about one more thing that's happened to me. Kim McDaniel told me about a preacher, C.T. Townsend. I was riding down the road listening to him. He's got a podcast called Chain Breaker. Bring a box up here. As I'm sitting there riding down the road listening to Chain Breaker, and it's talking about how Jesus was the only way that the chains could be broken. I'm riding down a dirt road. Right there's the chain that I found. I truly believe God can speak to you in so many ways if you'll just let him. There was a lot of times I let that devil get a hold of me. All those times when I let him stop me from coming up here just to pray. Y'all have heard about the straw that break the camel's back. What if that would have been the prayer that would have made my boy talk? What if that would have been the prayer that would have made my mama see? I'm going to try my best to do everything God tells me to from now on. And if you don't know him, you got a chance to get to tonight. Brother, I don't know what else to do. I'm going to leave it with him now. For all of you that come out here, I appreciate you letting me speak. I appreciate you listening to me.